for our reading this evening. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and read from chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 36. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she hath loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Truly, we serve a God who, by definition, is love. And the Apostle John has written that in the epistle, that God is love. And he truly loves us with a love that we cannot fully measure. We read that really famous verse, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is God's desire, is that he would give life and that he would have us, his creation, to be in his presence throughout all eternity. For this is the will of God, that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he loved us. He loved us in a great measure. And he wants our love in return. He wants us to love him as he loved us. He wants us to give unto him his heart, that we would love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourself, and that we would have faith in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done, as he is the Son of God and as he has died upon a cross, shedding his blood and being buried, yet rising to life. And that eternally. So in the Psalms, we read that as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. This is our God. This is our God. When we think that when we go in an airplane and we're high above the earth and we recognize some features maybe that we're familiar with, and we're so far above that you can't even make out individual people on the surface of the earth, but yet heaven is so much farther, higher than that. And so the word is giving a comparison of that. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Let's remember that. It's an eternal truth. And it's a demonstration of who God is. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And so we read here this evening of one who feared the Lord and who loved the Lord and who gave of himself, or who gave of herself to the Lord. And mercy was shown. Great mercy was shown. She was a great sinner, and great mercy was shown to her. So in a lot of ways, the story that we read here this evening is very similar, if not almost exactly the same as the story that we read 2 weeks ago of the publican and the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray. We recall that the Pharisee thought highly of himself and justified himself, didn't think he was a sinner, and the sinner comes, and the publican, he smotes upon his breast and says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified and not the other. That Pharisee that was praying thus with himself in the temple was not justified. Likewise, Simon, the Pharisee here, he was not justified. He was not forgiven. He thought more highly of himself than he ought to have thought, and he was not forgiven. And yet this woman was forgiven, and she was forgiven of much. So let's go through these verses together and then speak of some of the teachings and the truth of the gospel message here through this story that had happened in the time of Christ. This immediately follows a time when John the Baptist was questioning about Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And Jesus is explaining who John the Baptist was and his greatness. And he says that among those that are born of woman, there hath not been a greater prophet than that of John the Baptist. And so he speaks about the Pharisees, how they rejected the counsel of God against themselves because they would not be baptized by the baptism of John the Baptist. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves. And so it seems to be odd. And then Jesus also says, you know, John the Baptist came neither eating or drinking, and you said, you called him that he was, that he had a devil. Something pretty severe, severe accusation, saying that John the Baptist had a devil because he was neither eating bread or drinking wine. And then the Son of Man comes, and he is eating and drinking, and then you say, well, he's a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. So the Pharisees rejected the counsel of God against themselves, whether it was through the means of the way John the Baptist came, or whether it was through the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, coming. And so we pick up the reading, and it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And so he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to meat." So it just seems that it's why would this Simon the Pharisee have invited Jesus into his home when Jesus was explaining to them, "You reject the counsel of God against yourselves." But yet it happened. Yet it happened. And so Jesus is here and in Simon's house, and it says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner." It's acknowledged, and it's identified. She's identified as a sinner. She was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She brought the best. This was something that was exotic. This was something that was costly, a luxury item, an alabaster box. It looks like marble, and it's white, and it's very expensive. And inside of this alabaster box, she had ointment, which the ointment also must have been expensive and of great worth. And so she's bringing her best. She's bringing her best to the Pharisee's house to meet with Jesus. And so she stood at his feet behind him. As she's making this approach to the table where Jesus is, it almost seems that, like, when she's coming behind him, she almost wants to, like, not make an interruption to the meal, not make any disruption to what was going on here in the house, but she simply wanted to bring her broken spirit and the best that she had for the Lord. So she stood at his feet behind him, and she's weeping. She's weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. This is how the Lord wants us to come before him. When we know that his mercy, so great is his mercy as far as the heavens are above the earth, that he wants us to come before him weeping and in tears, to be broken. The Lord Jesus, when he began the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." But actually, the verse before that, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This woman, who was a sinner, was broken. She was poor in spirit, and she was mourning, and she was weeping, and had many tears, enough tears to make the feet of Jesus wet. Jesus also, in Isaiah's, in the book of Isaiah, it says that the Lord says, "To this man will I look, or this person will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." This woman, who was a sinner from the city, came into Simon the Pharisee's house, not with any pomp, not with any demands, but she was broken. She was broken. She had a poor and a contrite spirit. And the Lord, will dwell with such a one. And so the Lord says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so this woman, being broken, poor in spirit, having a broken heart and a contrite spirit, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. She spared no effort. She really gave of herself in this as she comes to the feet of Jesus. There were many throughout the Gospels we read that came to the feet of Jesus. Some came to the feet of Jesus to be physically healed. Some came to the feet of Jesus to be spiritually healed. Some came to the feet of Jesus to hear truth, such as Mary when Martha was busy. And some came to the feet of Jesus to worship him, to worship him. And here she comes at the feet of Jesus to give of herself in her brokenness, and to give of her best for the Lord. It says, and now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. So now he's saying this. He has some thoughts in his mind. He's not saying this audibly, but he's speaking within himself, saying, "This man," okay? He's referring to Jesus, the Son of God, who had by this time done many miracles, and knew, and Simon the Pharisee knew that he had powerful teachings. And he's just simply referring to Jesus as this man. If he were a prophet, only at the level of a prophet and not even the Son of God, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. In Simon's eyes, this woman was defiling Jesus, even if he was just a man, not even a prophet or the Son of God. But because she was a sinner and she was touching him, this Simon the Pharisee had such self-righteousness that he thought of this woman touching him as defiling him. And Jesus knows the thoughts of everyone, even in this time and throughout the world. He uses this opportunity to bring forth a beautiful teaching moment. And not sure who all was in the house here at this time. The woman was, Simon the Pharisee was, and some of Simon's friends were there as well. Not sure if the disciples were there or not, it doesn't say. But it was a moment where Jesus was going to teach. And yet we all have the opportunity to be taught of this lesson and to hear what Jesus has to say about this situation that developed in Simon's house. You know, the Lord, we know he orchestrates things perfectly. It was truly the Lord's doing that the Lord Jesus would be in Simon's house and this woman would come and be in the city and would come at that exact time. The Lord was orchestrating all of this. And so we can just see this beautiful event that unfolded and a beautiful teaching that came with it. So Jesus says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And then audibly, Simon says, Master, say on. In his mind, he was referring to Jesus as this man, if he were a prophet, disregarding him. But now, audibly, for show and for pretense, he says, Master, say on. And so Jesus brings forth this little teaching here where he says, There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Okay, so this is quite a large sum. If we compare this to the parable of the Good Samaritan, in the parable of the Good Samaritan gave 2 pence to the innkeeper that the innkeeper would take care of this man that fell among thieves. That's what it cost for the innkeeper to host this man that fell among thieves and to care for him, 2 pence. But here, Jesus is saying that a creditor had two debtors, that one owed 500 pence and the other owed 50 pence. It's even difficult to imagine, how does one rack up so much debt, 50 pence or 500 pence? But yet, Jesus was bringing forth this illustration. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Neither of them had that kind of money. Neither of them had 50 pence or 500 pence. And so since they didn't have it, that creditor, being very gracious, and this is being in relation to the Lord, when we have nothing to pay for our debt of sin, he frankly forgave us. And so Jesus says to Simon, Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And it wouldn't be very hard to come to that conclusion. Certainly, certainly one who was forgiven 10 times as much as the other would love him more. And so Jesus says, Thou hast rightly judged. And so he turns to this woman. In this house, remember, the woman is behind Jesus, washing his feet and trying to stay out of the way. But Jesus turns to this woman, and then he speaks to Simon. And he says, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. This woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." Simon, don't know why he called the Lord to his house when he rejected the counsel of God against himself, but he didn't do what a typical host would do in washing of the feet and anointing one's head with oil and greeting him with a kiss. He didn't do those things, but she did the greater things. She did greater things than even what would have been normal for Simon to do. And so Jesus says, "Wherefore?" Now, because of this, "Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many," the Lord Jesus Christ says, "which are many, they are being acknowledged. Yes, she is a sinner. And yes, her sins are many. And yes, she touched me. And I'm not defiled. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Simon didn't feel that he needed to be forgiven of much. And so his love was little. But this woman acknowledged her sins. She had that reputation in the city that she was a sinner. And she loved much. And so Jesus forgave her of her sins. And as he says to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." We place ourselves in a very dangerous place when we think of ourselves that we're not a great sinner. We come to a place where we have disregard then for our sin, however little or much it would be. And then our appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done for us is at a lower level. We ought always to think of ourselves that we have been forgiven of much. Our sins have put Jesus on the cross. Our sins required that the Son of God would come here upon this earth, take upon himself flesh and blood, be horribly treated, spit upon, a crown of thorns being placed on his head, mocked, despised, ridiculed, crucified, shedding his blood, that our sins could be forgiven. That's what it took for our sins to be forgiven. And we ought to have great, great appreciation for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for our sins, that we might have life, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be saved and go forth in peace. Simon was not forgiven. He was not forgiven of the disregard that he had for the woman that was a sinner. Just as it was for that Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray. He wasn't justified, but the sinner, the publican, who smote upon his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," was justified. And likewise here, Simon was not justified. Simon was not forgiven. Jesus didn't say, "Simon, your sins are forgiven you." He did not say that. But to the woman who came with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, who was mourning for her sin, and who came and brought her best to the Lord with this ointment that was in an alabaster box, who spared no tears, who thought about her sins as and the tears came down and washed the feet of Jesus. Her sins were many in her eyes. She acknowledged them. But because she was broken, because she repented, her sins were forgiven. She was emancipated. She was set free. She was able to go forth in peace. And yet Simon and those that were with him were not able to. They were not able to. Jesus said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. She feared the Lord. She loved the Lord. She knew that he could forgive her sins. And so she came broken, and she was forgiven of much, and she loved much. Jesus clearly says that her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. She loved much. But Simon didn't think of himself as one who sinned, or one who had need of forgiveness of sins. We place ourselves in a very dangerous situation when we don't think of ourselves as ones who need forgiveness from the Lord, have a measure of self-righteousness that we don't need forgiveness. There's a proverb that says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" That was the condition of the heart of the Pharisee who went to the temple to pray. He was proclaiming his own goodness. "I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of everything that I possess. I do all these things." Most men will proclaim their own goodness. That's normal. But a faithful man who can find? The Lord loved us. We are to love him in return. We are to love him for that he emancipated us, so that because he freed us from our sins, because we are now saved and we can go forth in peace. And so we are to love him. Jesus brings forth a beautiful teaching. He says, "If any man love me," if we love the Lord as this woman who was a sinner, who came behind Jesus and washed his feet with her tears, wiped his feet with her hair, and anointed his feet with that precious ointment, she loved him. And Jesus says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." If we express our love for the Lord, for him freeing us from our sins, we will keep his word. We will keep his word. His word will be most precious to us. We will fear the Lord. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So we are to love the Lord. We are to love the Lord. And in doing so, we will keep his words. And when we do, we have a beautiful promise here. One of these abundant and exceeding great promises that Jesus says, "My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." God the Father dwelling in us. Jesus Christ the Son dwelling in us. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The Godhead dwelling in us. If we love him and keep his commandments, this is what he wants from us. The Apostle Paul thought he had it all together and was going to persecute this renegade church, and as a Jew, and would do these great things for God. But he didn't know God. He didn't know God. Until the Lord showed himself on that road to Damascus in that great white light. he came to realize who he was. And he writes that to Timothy in the first chapter of the first epistle. As he's writing to Timothy, he acknowledged who he was. chief sinner. And so he writes here to Timothy and he says, "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." These are just beautiful words. The grace of our Lord, it's exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The woman had love for Jesus, much love. She had faith to believe that Jesus could forgive her of her sins. And what was given unto her was this exceeding abundant grace, which was in Christ Jesus. And then he continues on, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus is come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy to be accepted, that Christ Jesus has come into this world to save sinners." This is why Jesus came. He didn't come to earth just to commend the Pharisees and say, "You're doing very good. It's good that you're washing your hands before you eat your meal." That's not why Jesus came. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There were publicans in that time. They were sinners. Zacchaeus was the chief of the publicans. He was a great sinner, but he repented. But he repented. Of his own, he said, "Half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." He repented of his sins. He was the chief of publicans. He was a great sinner. And then Jesus says that he is also a son of Abraham. And for the Pharisees, they just probably could not understand that. How could that possibly be? But the Apostle Paul says that Christ Jesus has come into this world to save sinners, and he says, "Of whom I am chief." That's how he thought of himself, not as one that was, well, a sinner, yeah, I sinned, but I was a chief sinner. I needed the forgiveness of the Lord. He recognized his sinful state. He recognized the pride that he was once in. He recognized how he had hatred towards the church. But then yet he repented, and much forgiveness was given to him. The Apostle John also writes in his epistle saying, if we confess our sins, this woman that came to Jesus behind him and washed his feet, she knew she was a sinner. She wasn't hiding it. She wasn't going to put on a different clothing or something that would disguise who she was. She confessed her sins. And John says here in the Word of God, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." This is why Jesus came, to save sinners, to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is why Jesus came. What is our thought? Do we think of ourselves as, well, I grew up in a Christian family and I never, got into any trouble and, I was pretty good. Maybe I lied a couple times, but overall I was pretty good. If we think of ourselves as that, our love for the Lord is going to reflect that. Our love for the Lord is going to reflect, well, he hasn't forgiven me much, so my love for him is going to be little. But if we recognize my sin caused Jesus to come down from heaven and die upon a cross that I could be forgiven. And if I was the only one in this world, he would still have had to have done that so that my sins could be forgiven. There was no other way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by him. Our thought ought always to be that the Lord has forgiven me of much. I am so unworthy. I am so unworthy. He has forgiven me of much. A great price was paid in heaven that my sins could be forgiven. God loved me. And his mercy to me is so great, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward me. I want to love him in return. I want to yield my life to him. I want to give my all to him. No cost is too great. The woman didn't think that that alabaster box and the ointment that was in was too great of a price. She grabbed her best and brought it before the Lord. Shall we bring anything less than the best of ourselves to the Lord when we love him? When we love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Can we bring anything less? Our thought always to be, ought always to be, that the Lord has forgiven us of much. He has been gracious. He has been kind. My response to that, great love for him. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.